Welcome to the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Welcome to ITSP Magazine. You're listening to a new The National Blast podcast with Keenan Skelly. Join Keenan and guests as they blast you to a place that is certainly not boring, yet still giving you highlights from areas in cyber where key policies and legislation are needed, exist, but aren't enforced, or no one is even talking about it. Knowledge is power, now more than ever. VArmor enables organizations to protect their data, digital assets, and themselves through a complete understanding of all applications and identities and the information relationships between them. Every application, every user, every data element. Learn more at VArmor.com.
Hey, everybody. This is Keenan Skelly with the National Blast Podcast, and I am reporting live-ish. We'll say live-ish from Black Hat / DEF CON, and I've got some really exciting guests today. We're going to talk a little bit about ransomware, ransomware legislation, ransomware commissions. What the heck is going on with ransomware? So I'm going to hand it over, and you guys hit it. Tell us who you are, what you do, why you're here, what we're going to do with ransomware legislation.
Sure, I'll start it off. My name is Tony Cook. I am the head of threat intelligence at GuidePoint Security. What about you?
I am Mark Lance, responsible for digital forensics, incident response, and threat intelligence here at GuidePoint.
All the fun stuff. All my favorite stuff, really. So ransomware, it's kind of a big deal.
Is it?
I don't know. I feel like it is, which is really super interesting to me personally. You know, I've been involved in a lot of government agencies and DHS initiatives to kind of, you know, look at the threat landscape of, you know, ICS, critical infrastructure, the government itself. You know, I've done a lot of training of government red teams, et cetera, et cetera. What interests me the most about ransomware is how easy it is. It's so easy. And now we have, you know, out there in the wild, we now have these groups and networks of ransomware communities who are working together in like a corporate state, and, you know, they're funding each other to try to get info. I mean, this is spinning out of control very quickly. What do you guys think? I'm like, what do we do?
I mean, you're right. And I'm kidding, of course. And I'm like, is it that important? Like, everybody's talking about ransomware, and that's because so many people are getting hit by it. And it is so lucrative for the criminals right now. Like, that they're getting paid, they're making money hand over fist. And like you said, it's not difficult. Like, they're finding methods for intrusion, they're getting in. And I mean, they've even evolved their tactics over the last couple of years to make sure they're getting paid, whether it's, you know, the operational impacts to now actually stealing data and extorting customers as well. Like, they're getting paid. and it's, you know, there's insurance carriers who have policies. We know that they will target insured companies because there's a likelihood that they're going to get paid. But yeah, I mean, it's a huge problem. It's, you know, something that definitely is going to continue to be a problem as well, because they're making a ton of money. So they're going to continue to figure out ways to impact customers.
I think your question of like how you stop it. I think it kind of, to start with that, I think ransomware is very eye-opening to a lot of companies when it happens to them, right? I mean, that's normally when you see like, oh, well, shit, why did I have open RDP to the internet, right? Like, where did this come from, you know? And it really kind of puts the emphasis back on them that like, hey, I need to take these things seriously, right? And 9 times out of 10, it's the basics that are really going to get you in trouble if you don't get those things done, right? Like, just knowing the inventory of like what you have, right? Like, what systems are in my environment? What do they do? How are these things down? And then lock down from there. I think that's
basic logging.
Yeah.
Oh, we're logging. We're totally logging everything. Did you look at those logs?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We have people actually looking at alerts. So I mean, there's a ton of, you know, what I'll just call the basics that are just overlooked on a daily basis. And, you know, that's when things get into your environment. Next thing you know, you're giving us a call, and it's probably not the best day of your life.
What's crazy to me, though, is like, it is so like present in the news and everything else. But to your, like what Tony was saying, a lot of customers just, I don't know if they aren't paying as much attention or they just don't understand the intricacies associated with a ransomware incident until it happens to them. And then once it does, it's very enlightening and opens up their eyes to all the things they should have been doing. Like you were saying, like basic logging, making sure that you've got like vulnerability management, doing user awareness training, because phishing is still a thing and it's how they get in.
And not just phishing, right? I mean, all the things. I feel like I'm going to go on a little training thing for a second, because this is actually something that irritates the fuck out of me, is when you train only about phishing, but you don't train about ransomware and all the things that happen because of the phishing, then you're not training anybody anything. Ah, don't click on this link. Okay, well, I'm going to try to remember that, but why? Why should I remember that? What is the ultimate end game to the company, to myself, if I don't do that, right? Okay, sorry, go ahead.
No, I totally agree. It's one of those things that it's like, actually show me the impact of why I shouldn't be doing these things.
Exactly. And human beings sometimes are really stupid, but human beings are also super smart. And they always think that, you know, if they have some kind of role to play in being the hero for the company, they will do that. They will do that every day and twice on Sunday, but you got to give them that opportunity.
And we go out there and talk to customers all the time. And a lot of times it's just getting them to have that light bulb moment where it's like, oh shit. Like, so wait, hold on. This is what happens. And this is all the stuff that's involved with it. And once they have that moment, they're like, okay, it all makes sense. Why we should be or shouldn't be clicking on links, why we should be reporting this into our, you know, information security teams. Like part of what we have to do is train people to just kind of understand and give them visibility into the intricacies that they wouldn't unless they were impacted.
You know, while we're on training, the other part about it is even like the people that are dealing with it in your company, like the people that need to have the C-level management, the IT guys, the whole, nobody's just like, oh yeah, this is exactly what I'm going to do every time, you know, ransomware hits. They don't have a plan in place. They don't have a playbook. They don't, their IRP, their incident response plan hasn't been updated in years, nor does it even have like any operational stuff.
Oh shit, call the lawyer.
Do we have insurance? Who knows?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I know we went down a training rabbit hole there, but I love rabbit holes on my show. I just follow the white rabbit. So, one of the other things that I talked about this week with some other folks is the fact that there are VCs, venture capitalists, who are being hit with ransomware right now. There was a big one last week or 2 weeks ago that was in the news with a payout of over $1 billion. Hackers are smart, man. They're going to find the money. They're going to find the people that have the data and the money, and they're going to go there. So, you know, it's super important that everybody understands that it's not just one industry or the other. It's anybody and everybody who has data and money.
Yep. Yeah, no, we tell people all the time. That's why it's so important for people to understand the impacts of ransomware and what it entails, because like it could be anybody from like mom and pop's pizza shop with some of the smaller crews, versus like they are targeting specifically healthcare or VC or for some of the larger groups. And so it really can impact anybody across all verticals as long as they make money. That's what they're there to do. And they're good at it. I mean, look how much they're making.
Oh yeah. They're banking. So what do you guys think about, you know, there's been a whole slew of ransomware policy guidance and legislation that's starting to emerge. What do you guys think about that? Is any of this going to actually help or no? Or do we need to kind of figure out a different way?
I think so. There's a ransomware task force that's out right now, like the RTF or everything. I think they're starting down the right path, right? There's a lot in that document that they put out about ransomware guidance. And I think, you know, it hits on just about all the marks that I would try to hit on for it. And they do a really good job of getting away from banning paying the ransoms. They get a good way from like trying to like victimize or like really hone in on making sure that the victim feels even worse about getting hit to begin with, right? Some of the stuff in there even starts to put together a pot of money for people that can't pay the ransoms, right? Mm-hmm. I think there's guidance in there that also shows people how to mitigate it before it even happens, right? Like really get proactive in how they're dealing with things. So I think guidance of that nature, where you're not only trying to help build people up and show them the right way to have your environments set up properly to begin with, is the right way. And then if it does happen, here's how you deal with it, right? Rather than, you know, these knee jerk, like just ban everything because that's definitely going to work. They're not going to find a way around that.
And people are going to find a way to pay if it, like, if you are able to encrypt all of my data and I'm not going to be able to function as a business.
And my entire pipeline goes down and the economy of the United States is directly impacted because nobody can have gas for 48 hours on the East Coast.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You're going to find a way to pay because
you're going to find a way.
you got to get access back to your data. You got to be operationally functional again. So, I mean, I don't think that, you know, banning is just going to have people start going through, you know, different vectors in order to get that access back to their data.
Yep.
I mean, it's going to drive other bad habits. And to Tony's point, like, you know, obviously we want to focus on identifying, you know, who the criminal groups are and, you know, shutting them down, as opposed to, you know, necessarily you don't want to kind of victimize the victim themselves.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. And it kind of goes hand in hand with another one of my side projects that I've got going right now. And that is about breach verification and kind of hacker rights and security researcher rights and company rights for those of us who are in threat intelligence. You know, the CFAA is just ruining everybody's lives, right? And when you think about who actually reports breaches in this country, it's not companies. It's hackers and security researchers and threat intel people who no longer want to report it because they keep getting screwed by the CFAA. They keep getting sued by companies. They keep getting accused of actually breaching the data themselves. And they're over here like, hey, I'm trying to help, man. You're broke. You need to be fixed. I'm trying to help you. So, you know, one of the things that I'm really pushing for right now, I know Senator Warner and some others are struggling to put together after this whole infrastructure bill, struggling to put together this Breach Notification Act or Breach Verification Act. And I personally really strongly believe that in order for any kind of Breach Verification Act to be relevant, that they have to put in some exemptions, some safe harbors for those of us who are actually doing the research, who are actually finding the vulnerabilities. And maybe we don't report those vulnerabilities to the company directly anymore. Maybe we report them to something else anonymously, where somebody's going to look at it, even if the company doesn't want to. And the thing is, you know, I worked for DHS for a couple of years building interagency working groups with companies and owners and operators who have a limited bottom line. And now, as a CEO, as an entrepreneur, I know what it's like with that bottom line and trying to make sure that it is exactly what it is. You don't always have the money to throw at a security problem. You don't always have the money to throw at whatever. So I think it's super important that we get this right with this next set of legislation that's coming out, right? It's great that, you know, Biden is putting out the ransomware kind of guidance, but I think that there's much more to it than just that. I think we have to look at the system as a whole and how reporting is currently done, how reporting should be done, and what kind of protections all of us crazy hackers should get, you know, while we're trying to protect the country and protect the nation. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. That's something that we look into quite often because we do a lot of threat research, right? And a lot of that times you find things, even if we're doing work for a specific company where they hired us to do it, they can get upset from some of the things that we find, right? And that, right. Like, that boggles my mind. But when we're doing it like kind of anonymously, I have, you know, a particular thought in my mind where I'm kind of actually really impressed with the CISA guys recently, right? With all the stuff that they're putting out, like they've kind of
okay.
Like,
can I just? I got to time you out right there. I have a girl crush right now on Jen.
Yes.
Did you?
Yes.
Did you? She was full blown hacker in her presentation. Okay, she was fidgeting with a Rubik's cube. She had dragons on her pants. I am in love with this woman, and I'm so excited to see somebody who's really nerdy techie leading the charge at CISA. That's just me. I don't know what you guys think.
Oh yeah. I'm a huge fan. I've loved everything that they've put out. It's been meaningful. It's been operational. It's not confusing guidance.
Targeted.
Like, very like opaque, like maybe you should do this, or maybe like, here's exactly what you need to do. If you have any questions, feel free to hit us up. I think that having, you know, a group that understands things at their level, and I don't care if you have to like register with them or some other, but however that works, right? To be able to basically give a someone of their stature, like, here's what I found, right? Like in a bug bounty way. Like I'm a huge bug bounty guy. I think like that's just an amazing thing to be able, like all companies should like buy into that, because I mean at the end of the day, it's almost like
I dissent. Here's why. You know, with the bug bounty programs, NDAs, right?
Yep.
You can't talk about anything. And I'm sure you guys know as hackers, as hunters, that part of the cool is being able to say, you know, CVE dot, 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 that was mine.
Yep.
So I feel like bug bounties is a way to go about it, but I feel like there's better ways to go about it that allow hackers to be hackers on hackers on hackers, but that also really benefit the country, the nation, all the fun stuff.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. And you do have to have like that, you know, that disclosure to them in a certain amount. And I think a lot of times people have tried to do this in the past and either they've been ignored or like just not taken seriously for whatever. I mean, we found a ton of like C2s coming out of different places. You tell them about it and they're like, okay, cool.
We used to do this. Especially like
they're like, no, that's just not true. And you're like, but no, really. Here's the verified data. And they're like, oh, wait, you verified my data? CFAA.
Done. But if you could hand that off to somebody who has the authority to it, right? Like you could just say, hey, this is it. And that's what I'm talking about. Like taking that bug bounty and really like pushing it towards something where, you know, there can't be any pushback from it. It's like, this is an actual federal thing happening. Like we have the authority to tell you, like, this is something that's happening. Make sure that it's either fixed or something's happening about it within the next.
I kind of feel like this has to be almost a third party though. Cause you know, in my experience working at DHS, it's hard to get owners and operators to be like, yeah, we buy into this because you said so. And there's always the fear of regulation. There's always the fear of, you know, well, we weren't prepared. So we're going to get fined. We're going to get, you know, dragged through the media. We have to absolutely make breaches normal. We have to make that the everyday status so that companies aren't afraid to come forward, because you can't protect all your shit. You just can't. I wish you could, but you can't.
That's one good thing about ransomware. I mean, like it's got people like, everybody has a black eye, right? You just walk in, I got hit by ransomware. Oh yeah, me too. I got hit by one of those over there. And it's becoming kind of like a socially accepted thing, because all ransomware is just, you know, somebody breaking into your network, finding some stuff, expoing it, and then, oh yeah, here's some ransomware. You know, like the bad stuff's already happened before ransomware's happened. So
yep.
I think it's interesting they call it like name and shame, because the thing is like, there's really not shame to having being impacted by ransomware anymore. Like it's more
we're
about the impact.
Another in a very, very long list of people who are breached because hackers are smart, right?
Yeah.
It's okay. It doesn't mean that you're not smart. It means that hackers are smart, and we need to keep talking about it over and over and over.
I mean, you even look at some of the stuff that, you know, the vulnerabilities recently with like Microsoft's, you know, SAM stuff, right? Like, that's not even like, how is that my problem? Like I stay patched. The whole thing's there. Now I have a problem. You know, like it's just
my
a lot of the
damn
stuff
you're printer on. Spool.
Burn it down. Yeah.
And people should be more vocal about it and sharing their experiences. I mean, it still drives me crazy to this day. So especially with like targeted threat activity. I mean, we used to do a lot of notifications to customers being like, hey, just so you know, you're probably dealing with some sort of advanced threat. And we're just giving you a heads up. And we had to always be so cautious about how we're communicating that, because half of them want to bury their head in the sand. Others are like, you didn't put any of this in writing, did you? Okay, good. Don't.
You didn't tell the press, did you? Please tell me you did not tell the press. I mean,
they're like, damn it. Like, we've literally had, you know, CISOs will be like, damn it. You know, if you now I have to do something about this. And I'm like, well, you should anyway. And then, though, like, let's talk about the things that have impacted us. Like, let's share stories. Let's make sure that people, you know, learn from the things that we did and how we recovered and, you know, ways that we dealt with things, as opposed to everybody like hiding behind a curtain and being like, don't. Don't tell anybody.
That's one of the things that we're trying to push with our threat intel program, is just like getting that information out. And almost everybody has had it happen. Like, I really enjoyed the way that Mandian dealt with solar flare, or, you know, solar winds all nine yards with that.
Absolutely.
Get out there, talk about it, because, you know, we've been dealing with supply chain attacks. Like, we've been working together for a long time. So, you know, 10, 12 years, we've been dealing with the same stuff. Just nobody wanted to talk about it. The client says, NDA, you're not allowed to talk about it. You can't have all these things. And it's like, these are kind of normalish. This is nothing that's new to the table that we're bringing. It's just now people are talking about it. And now everybody's like, oh, okay. Let's buy in on it a little bit. But until you get away from the mentality of like the CISO is going to get fired because there was a breach, or, you know, exactly, everybody's
going to. That is a trend that absolutely must stop. The CISO is not the knower, the end all be all in security for any organization. They are doing the best they can with the crap budget that you guys are giving them. So do not fire them when something happens. Because when something happens, they already know what they have to do, right? You fire them, you bring somebody else in who's like, oh, okay, what the hell is going on here?
Mm-hmm. And they're starting fresh. They've got their agenda. Like, I can't use the opportunity to learn and build and then develop strategy around it. Like, we've got to throat to slit. Get rid of them. Somebody's got to be accountable for this. Like, it happens.
About,
like you said,
how about we make the threat actor accountable? It's crazy talk right now.
Whoa. No. Let's actually start finding the victims. Yeah. That's what we need to
do. We got a success story with that one. We dealt with the guy, almost like 7 years ago. He actually just called us the other day. He was a CISO that had an APT breach like way back when. And like, he wasn't the best CISO, I would say. But like now, he's probably one of the top CISOs I know, really. I mean, he's technical. He got into it. It was wake up call.
After you respond to one of those, you're like, oh shit, man, I need to be smart. I got to go get some classes. I need all the briefings. I need to know RC2. Like, I really need to dig in right here.
Yeah, I think it's funny. We talked to a lot of CISOs, and it's funny how like a lot of them have, you know, clauses built into their, you know, contract or their work that basically says, well, if you fire me within this amount of time, here's my golden parachute that I get to walk away with. And like, that's become the trend now. It's like, okay, cool, I'll take the job and I'll put my head on the table. Like, you know, right, go for it.
We're not doing anything. That's all personal protection. I'm totally here for personal protection.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And all that, but it's not helping the community. It's not helping people prepare.
Agree.
Anything. So it's a bad trick. Yeah, it's absolutely. Yeah.
But so then we get back to it, like, let's just say you're the CISO, right? And somebody tells you like this information, would you rather get it from like a CISO or something that's kind of like got all the details ready to go? And here's like maybe even a portal you can go to, or do you just get a random, you know, Gmail hit you up like, oh, hey, guess what? You have this thing happening. And it's like, oh.
Well, that was what was always so sketchy about like the notification process too, is like, I mean, one, are you just going to trust a random person who's reaching out to you?
Yeah.
This is why I think there needs to be a third party breach verification entity that is not DHS or CISA that can take anonymous tips, investigate them, and then actually reach out to the agency, to the organization, and say, we found this. We're exempt from your CFAA BS, and you need to do something. We're going to connect you with nobody's going to put you in jail. Nobody's going to fine you person over at DHS or at CISA, and they're going to help you walk through this incident step by step. That's a big difference from CISA reaching out to you and saying, hey, you're broke. We're stepping in now because this is a big deal, right?
Yeah. See that. Yeah. But does that get funded though? Right. Like how do people get paid?
Yeah, of course. Right? Of course.
Yeah.
Is that like company buying into this? Like, hey, we'll, you know, bring us this, you know, we'll give you this much money to do it. Or is this
government grant funding and government funding that's there to help not only the reporter, but also the company to actually deal with the mitigation, right? It has to be both sides. It has to be carrots for everybody. Right.
Yep. Yeah. Exactly. Then you get the full buy-in for it.
This is my favorite thing about being a podcast host, is that I can come up with crazy shit all the time that I think is cool and important and be like, what do you think of this? And then be like, everybody agrees. Let's do it. Let's totally do it, man. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Change me a website or whatever, get enough
votes. Change.org. Yeah.
Change.org. Yes. Now I want to ask you guys another question. I'm getting close to time where I'm going to have to like go and interview other people on less interesting topics, but I am spearheading an inter-industry threat intelligence working group to go after some of the jerkiest jerky assholes out there. And the reason for that is that we all, as I personally worked for a threat intelligence company, I want to gather all of the smartest people around with all of the best data and share what we know.
Whoa, that's weird. Yes.
I know that's fucking crazy talk. I know.
How dare you not monetize it and keep it all in behind closed doors?
This is bullshit. We need some money for it. Now, we've been trying to do the same thing, but if you're on one,
dude,
we would love to do that.
I am building one. I have four companies already. I want you too on that club. Okay.
I don't know.
So let's do that. I'm going to send you some emails after this, because here's my thing. And maybe it's because, you know, I diffused bombs growing up, and I feel like, you know, sharing intelligence is actually crucial to success for really anything to happen, especially in the world that we're living in right now. I mean, threat actors are changing their profiles hourly, daily, constantly, partnering with people you wouldn't think they're partnering with. This is the time where we need to be big boys and girls and come together and say, look, okay, we still have our own businesses, A++, but yeah, we also all have our own different vectors of intelligence that could help actually bring down some of the worst cyber criminals that are out there. Let's do it. What are we waiting for? This isn't grade school. We're all big boys and girls.
How many times we've been like, yeah, co-work an incident with like a Mandiant or CrowdStrike or another DFI fire vendor, and it's like, we had intelligence, they had intelligence, and when you put it together, it's like, oh well, that kind of makes sense.
It connects all the dots.
So the other thing we used to do frequently is like, so we would work with a customer who had been, you know, impacted by some sort of, you know, advanced threat, and then we would facilitate setting up a working group with their direct competitors. And they're like, hold on, that's our direct competitors. I was like, yeah, but you guys aren't sharing trade secrets. Like, you're sharing how you're both dealing with these attack groups. Like, so we have always been huge proponents for like taking the information, you know. Yes, we all still want to run businesses and make money, but like, let's learn what we actually got into this business for,
and that's to take down bad guys.
Yeah,
to help people get things down, man. I mean, that's where the security industry, in my opinion, fails horribly. Everybody has their own opinion about like how this should be done, that should be done, and you know, nobody ever just thinks together like, hey, maybe this should be a holistic manner of how, you know, threat intelligence is the easiest one, I think, to be able to do. It's literally just talking about like what I've saw, what you saw, putting it down in like an open CTI instance or something else, and then just sharing it.
All right, well, I have already, I just wrote a note to myself, I've already officially added you guys as part of this club. And we're going to talk more about this offline, and we're going to get more and more threat intelligence companies to join in on this. Because honestly, if we're not doing this to get the bad guys, you know, what are we doing? What are we doing? It's great. It's great to make money. I'm here to make money. Money is good.
Yeah.
In fact, the redacted name of my last podcast was Fuck You, Pay Me. I'm here for that, right? But at the same time, every single person who's doing threat intelligence right now, or red teaming or defending or whatever it is you're doing it because you want to make the world better, right? You want to get rid of the bad guys. You want to hunt them down and just be like, argh. So let's do that. Let's
stop totally agree.
Jerks to each other and just be friends. Let's be friends.
Totally. I only have two questions. Is there a cool name?
I have a cool name. I'm not going to announce it here though, because it might have to be a little bit secret for a hot minute. But I'll send you information on it.
And then do we get secret Dakota rings? That's all I need.
Just obviously, yes. Although I'm also thinking of like some really cool coin that you have to get into meetings.
I think round metal object.
Yeah.
Do it.
Awesome. Yeah. You guys have been such great guests. I love everybody that's in Black Hat and DEF CON this year. You guys have been so much fun. And definitely, we're going to start working together, all of us, to hunt these bad guys and put them in their freaking baby corner where they should be.
Yeah, I like it. Let's get them. Find the new ones.
Thanks again, guys. Threat and
it's a pleasure.
Interagency working groups and ransomware sucks. Bye-bye.
VArmor enables organizations to protect their data, digital assets, and themselves through a complete understanding of all applications and identities and the information relationships between them. Every application, every user, every data element. Learn more at VArmor.com. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the National Blast Podcast with Keenan Skelly. If you learned something new and this podcast made you think, then share ITSPmagazine.com with your friends, family, and colleagues. If you represent a company and wish to associate your brand with our conversations, sponsor one or more of our podcast channels. We hope you will come back for more stories and follow us on our journey. You can always find us at the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society.